Hello and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, another show that we talk to business entrepreneurs, marketers, and influencers on the internet. Our guest this month is Bruce Irvin. He is a keynote speaker. He's also a podcaster, and he heads the Smart Pizza Marketing. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So I met Bruce, you know, through another podcast and obviously through LinkedIn. And in the past year, I've been very fascinated with the pizza industry. I love pizza. And I went on YouTube, saw some pizza stuff. And then obviously I run into two pizza personalities. And Bruce, I met him through a podcast. And of course, he knew everyone that I was seeing on YouTube and everything. So Bruce, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, man. First off, thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I'm always honored to get asked to join people on their podcast. So thank you for that. Yeah, well, I was in the pizza industry for a long time, my whole life. I grew up in Boston. I'm born and raised in Boston. And I worked for this company called Pizzeria Regina, which is pretty popular here in the north end of Boston. Worked for them when I was 15. Did that for a few years, really learned how to make pizza. Kind of loved it, really. I didn't really know anything else to do. I was just kind of like fascinated with pizza. I loved it. And then I moved to the North Shore, met my future business partner. We started a pizzeria in that area. Eventually we had two locations, and then we were having this stretch after, you know, 10 years of, we were really good at marketing. We were doing a lot of offline marketing then. This is the late 90s, early 2000s. I was fascinated by two things. I was fascinated by podcasting, and I was fascinated by online marketing, because I saw all of these people doing some crazy, tremendous things in our industry. And we were having a growth issue. We were at two locations, but we were having a hard time organizing. We were having a hard time growing, building our team, figuring out how to expand past what we knew. Neither one of us were college educated. We were both self-educated individuals and grew the businesses to, you know, we were doing over $2 million a year in sales. Just from hard work and effort. So I started the podcast Smart Pizza Marketing because I kind of wanted to just talk to other people in our industry who I thought were doing cool things online and literally just pick their brain. I said, you know what? I'm going to start a podcast because I like podcasts. I don't read too much. I'm going to interview people and literally just ask them questions about what they're doing in their business so we could utilize that in our business.
No, it's interesting. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. And then, you know, 250 episodes.
Yeah, I've been listening to your podcast for the past couple of months, and like the people you interview, it feels like I can relate to them. Mom and pop shop owners that have these pizzerias, sometimes they come from their parents, but they, you know, take over and they want to, you know, make it more digital, more online. What trends have you noticed, you know, with today's pizza owners, they have to do to make things relevant for them?
I think it's about branding versus price. A lot of restaurant owners or local business owners, you know, I focus a lot. I work with some real estate agents. I work with some other businesses as well, but I work with mostly local business owners. And I see that a lot of them are trying to compete in a competitive market. Whether you're a local real estate agent or a nail salon or a restaurant owner, you're competing against other people that do the same exact thing you do. And you have to be relevant. You have to be noticed. And with Uber Eats and Lyft and all of these third-party sites that have a ton of data and do a great job of online marketing, you really need to be in the business of you in order to be recognized as the expert or business in your area for whatever it is you sell. And that's what we try to focus on, especially now. Like 5 years ago, you could do Facebook and Instagram and do some advertising, and it was really easy because nobody was doing it. But now everybody's doing Facebook ads. Everybody's doing Instagram. Everybody does email. And they all do it kind of the same boring way. So you really need to stand out as the business owner and not be afraid to put yourself on camera or on audio or put yourself out there. And the people who do that, we see having really good success because it gives you an advantage of not having to compete on price.
What do you tell your clients today? I mean, do you still avoid traditional, like, you know, printouts, mailouts, and you just focus on social media? What do you really focus on today?
It depends on what the market is and what their demographic is. We still tell people that you should do postcards and you should do flyers or mailers, but I don't think you should do it the way that we did it in the 90s. We were spending we were sending out 10,000 to 15,000 mailers every week for our businesses, and we were getting tremendous penetration. But that was in the 90s when, you know, that's kind of all there was. you would have to be really unique on your copy for your ad, but you got one shot. So you got one shot to really do good copy on that flyer before you printed 100,000 of them. Now with social media, you can test and tweak and do a video. And if it doesn't work, you do a different video. And the more, the ones that you see working more now, you do more of those. So I don't think that there's a place for local businesses to only go online. But I don't think you should spend all of your money in one place anyway.
You know, one thing about your podcast that your podcast is not just for pizza owners, for like the listeners, it's for everyone that's interested in marketing. I'm not planning to open up a pizza restaurant, but I learned a lot from your podcast through marketing. And one thing that really got me was that, you have to pump in money in Facebook ads. Organic reach, it just only reaches out to like four people,
Right. It's true. Listen, all the platforms are like that. They're all going to be like that. Even Instagram right now. You'll get a lot of interaction and organic reach on Instagram, but where do you think that's going to go? And eventually that's going to fade away. And Facebook owns them anyway, so what's coming for that. But I always say, listen, why not spend money? Someone's like, oh, I don't want to spend money on Facebook. Why? If I tell you you could reach thousands of people who live in your area, who have interests that you serve, why the heck wouldn't you want to spend money to reach them? You pay money to send a postcard out. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to pay money to send out your ads. The alternative to that is be entertaining, be educational, grow your audience, communicate with your customers, be social. Don't look at it as a mailbox. Look at it as a platform to network with people. And the people who do that, they don't have to spend as much money as the people who are boring as crap. And post the same thing over and over and over again.
One thing that I like about your business is that you only have clients one per zip code. How much of the country have you covered so far, if you're able to disclose that? But
yeah, we have over 100 clients across the country. And the reason I did that was there's a lot of people out there selling similar services to what we do. And they'll serve two, three of the same clientele, same business owners in the same area. And what I want to do is I want to team up with you as the business owner, and I want to be partners with you. And I want to make sure that you are successful. And I feel like if I partner with and we interview every client before we take them on, and some just aren't a fit. They're not ready for us to help them. But I want to make sure that you're successful. And if I feel like me personally, if I partner with a business, I want to make sure that I can promote them with integrity. And if I'm working with you and the business across the street who serve the same thing, how can I do that? How can I say you're the place to go when I'm also saying they're the place to go? And it's just my opinion. And it comes back to from me being a business owner and wanting to work with people who are really want to help me grow my business and have, we have, hundreds of clients across the country in only one zip code. And sometimes we get people who are like, hey, I have a business in this zip code. I want to work with you. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's already taken.
Move.
And they're like, really? You can't help us anyway? I'm like, listen, you can go listen to the podcast and do everything we say on there and do it yourself. We can't help you implement it. But I don't want to, I just feel like it's a conflict of interest if I work with multiple businesses doing the same thing in the same area.
What side projects are you working on? I know that one of them is a pizza school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Frank Pinello, who is the host of The Pizza Show, and I are working on a digital school for pizza owners. It's going to be a pizza school, and it's going to be a combination of my expertise, which I am a restaurant owner. Like, I did own restaurants, so I know about recipes. But Frank is really a chef. He went to the Culinary Institute of America, and between the two of us, our networks are pretty vast when it comes to the pizza industry, and mine when it comes to the marketing industry. So we're going to combine those two areas of expertise. Frank's going to bring his chef knowledge and his culinary knowledge. I'm going to bring my marketing knowledge, and we're going to put those together as a place for people to learn how to do recipes, how to learn marketing, how to really run every aspect of owning a pizzeria. Because Frank and I both get a tremendous amount of DMs and emails from people either wanting to get into the pizza business, or they're in it and they're trying to figure out how to get better at it or grow it. And we can't help every single person that emails us. There's just not enough time in the day to respond to all those emails or direct messages with phone calls and follow-ups. So we said, listen, let's team up. Let's start this pizza school. And we could do all of that in video. We'll have a private Facebook group. We'll have tutorials. We'll bring in expert chefs and marketing experts to give classes and webinars and really teach you every aspect of how to learn the pizza business so you can be successful at it.
Now, of course, I always listen to your podcast and everything. And what does it take to start a pizza restaurant these days?
It takes balls, I'll tell you that. A lot, big ones, because it's hard. I was in the restaurant space for 25 years. And I'm still kind of in it. We're partners with some businesses. We market for some businesses. It's harder now than it ever has been. And I'd say the hardest part is trying to build your team. So I would say you have to be okay with being different. Like, less is more nowadays. The days of operating a pizzeria where you try to serve as many customers with a variety of products that you can are over. Those pizzerias are struggling because you just can't find the help in order to build out your team big enough to produce all of those products consistently and timely. So less is more. We're seeing with the podcast, the people that I talk to, we're seeing that the people that are being the most successful in the restaurant space, pizza space, is serving a really small menu. They have a really small dedicated team. There's room for growth for those individuals. And they really specialize in something and master that. And then you attract the customers you want to attract for that. Don't try to be everything to everyone.
And what are the challenges that pizza owners are going through right now? Like, is it, you know, paying their employees, like the margins? What's like the most you've seen?
I think trying to find employees. Listen, we're living in a time where I hate the word millennial, but the younger generation are educated. And I don't mean educated when it comes to like being super smart, but they're educated with what's happening in the world because they have information on their phone, in their pocket at all times, and they're communicators. And they don't want to do jobs. Like, they're very okay with not living the lifestyle that we grew up with, right? Like, our grandparents came to this country. A lot of them were probably immigrants, and all they wanted to do was have a new life, have a house in a stable environment to have children in. Then we grew up and we kind of like looked at them and we're like, you know what? Maybe that's not what we want to do, but that's the path that we're taking. Let's do the same thing. Our kids are like, I don't want to do any of that. I don't want a house. I'm okay traveling or the world. I want to look at Instagram and be like everybody I see on Instagram. And the business owners are having a hard time relating to those people and adapting to the new ways that the younger generation wants to work. And that's why you see Uber and Lyft and Uber Eats, all these places popping up and attracting people, because I was just talking to this earlier about someone. They're having a hard time finding delivery drivers. And I'm like, listen, you're not competing with the restaurant across the street. You're competing with Uber and Lyft. And the reason they're not coming to you is because they make the same money with Uber and Lyft, but they don't have to do any of the work. You can work when you want. You can turn it on and off. You can make the same money. You don't have to get out of your car. It's very easy environment for them to work in. And I think restaurant owners need to adapt to that. Make it as easy as possible for your people to work when it comes to training, what your expectations are of them, over-communicate with them, give them the freedom of scheduling. And if you can do that, you'll be successful in your market over the other people who just aren't doing that.
Have these third-party delivery services, have they benefited the restaurants? Because I heard like they cut in like right into the prices sometimes.
Yeah, they usually charge, depending on what size business you have, up to 30% of the order. So whatever the order is, they'll take 30%. Listen, we've done a lot of polls on our Facebook page and inside of our groups, and the answer is mixed. Like, a lot of people are having success with them, and I think it really depends on where you're located. I personally, if I was to open up a new business, I would not use them because they're collecting data. Uber Eats, DoorDash, all these companies that you use that are third party are collecting the data, and they don't let you have that data. So what do you think they're going to use with that data in the future? Like, Uber Eats has already opened these, they're called dark restaurants, where they don't have storefronts and they just use the data that they have in these cities to open up restaurants and attract those people who are using them to order from them. Now, on the flip side, like my kids, they go on Uber Eats, they go on DoorDash, they go on these third-party sites to search for restaurants that deliver to them in their area and see what their variety is. So there's a balance you have to have. Like, it's a hard decision to make. But I believe that if you do your marketing right, you should be able to be the most well-known business in your area And when they think of whatever business you're in, they think of you before they even go to Uber Eats. If you're a pizzeria and you work with us, I want you to be known as the pizzeria to go to in that area. So when someone thinks of delivery, they just think of you because they always see you.
Yeah. Speaking about dark restaurants, I've seen that trend that might happen where they don't have storefronts and they just have a kitchen somewhere and they just use Uber Eats to deliver. But that's more like the Uber Eats are doing that. It's not like individual private business people, right?
There's both. So in the UK, we have a lot of people we talk to from the show in the UK. They're already starting it there and in Australia. It's not as prevalent in the United States yet, but what do you think is going to happen? If they're already doing it there and it's successful, they're definitely going to do that here. And they have data, right? It's like they have the data on you. If everybody goes to Uber Eats to order, it's like exactly what Zillow did to real estate agents. In the beginning, you know, real estate agents had the opportunity to put themselves out there and use social media to their advantage. They failed to do that, thinking that the information on MLS was proprietary to them, and that's how they're going to compete in the market. Zillow's like, you know what? That information is pretty public, and we're going to build a resource where people can go search for it. And now realtors have to pay Zillow to get noticed for their own listings. That's exactly what's going to happen in the restaurant industry.
That's very fascinating. It's interesting. Let's go to the food wise. In your opinion, which part of the country has the best pizza?
Depends on what style. Like, New York's obviously the mecca for pizza in the United States. But I'll tell you something. There's way more good pizza in the United States than there was 20 years ago. And maybe that's because of the internet and people have information at their fingertips that they can research and study and ask questions where you would have to go to the Pizza Expo 20 years ago. But I've heard Portland in Oregon has pretty good pizza. There's some places in LA that have really good pizza. My friend has 786 Degrees, who has over, I think he has over 1,200 or 1,300 five-star reviews on Yelp. He's got a tiny restaurant. He's in Los Angeles. Great pizza. But if I was to say, like, where, if you're going to drop me in one city to eat pizza for the rest of my life, it's going to be New York still.
What trend have you been seeing more lately? More like, you know, go to the counter, order pizza, sit down, or like, you know, or it's still more popular like having like the waiter serve you? Like, what trend do you think it's like the best these days?
If you're in a populated area and you can get away with it, slice shops are really popular. Like, people are opening up slice shops with one or two employees. You have really good slices. They're available all day. People can just walk in, order what they want, and there's a few tables that they sit at, and that's it. It's probably the easiest one to manage as well, because you don't need a wait staff. You don't need delivery drivers. You don't need a ton of employees. You just make a really good pie and come in, pick it up, eat it right there, and you're done. That's the ones that I'm seeing. And it's trickier if you're in a more rural area, though, for sure.
Yeah. What oven is your favorite oven that you know that good pizza will come out of?
So Fort Sofforni is a friend of our show. I love them. They have the wood-fired ovens. They have all kinds of mobile units. They're definitely the ones that we suggest people check out. Those are the ones that Anthony Falco, Mangieri, Pinello, those guys use. And if those guys are using those ovens and they're also known as the best pizza makers in the country, then I'm going to suggest those myself.
For you, what's a good pizza?
For me, I love cheese. So this has been a controversy with me and my listeners a while. I always said that I'm going to go into your restaurant and I'm going to try the cheese pizza first, because if you can't make a good cheese pizza, then I don't know if I want to try anything else. That has changed for me a little bit over the years, because someone was like, listen, we're not known for our cheese pizza, but we're known for this pizza and you should try it. It's really good. So I've kind of steered away from that a little bit, but I'm still, if I'm going to a pizzeria, I really want to try their cheese pizza. I really think that simple is better. I don't love a ton of toppings on a pizza. I love the dough, what kind of sauce you use, a really high quality mozzarella cheese, and just those three factors together should make a really good pizza.
I totally agree. I had this guy who's also a pizza fanatic, and he always told me, try the cheese pizza first. And
yeah,
that you can determine if it's good or not. Have you seen the Instagram, like the Barstool Sports president guy, you know, review pizza every day? What do you think about it? I mean, have you seen it?
Dave Portnoy? Yeah,
yes,
I've seen it.
Dan. Yeah.
So Frank Pinello, who's a friend of mine who were doing the pizza school together, was just doing something late, and he texted me the other day or like a couple weeks ago, and he's like, hey, look who I'm with. And he was with Dave Portnoy. Oh, wow. I'm like, oh, get out of here, really? Yeah, I know him. I don't know. Listen, the thing that bugs me about him is he can really affect a business in a good way or a bad way. I think he's kind of responsible with that. You don't see too many really, really bad reviews. But I always tell people, listen, you should, if you run a pizzeria, you should have two photos on the wall, one of your health inspector and one of Dave Portnoy. And you should know who they are. And if they come in, you should serve them your best quality product that you possibly can do.
Which I always wonder if he calls ahead, hey, guys, I'm coming in an hour or two, and they, you know, prepping it.
I don't think he does. I've had many guys on our show that he's visited, and it's been a surprise to them. And there was one person on our show who he visited, and this was a really – you can Google it. It was a really big controversy in the pizza world. He went to their restaurant. He was doing his video outside. The manager of that restaurant came out and kind of was giving him a hard time, like, hey, do you have permission to record here? And Dave's like, I don't have permission to record here. And the guy kicked him out. And he gave the place a zero. And the very next day, they had like 500 one-star reviews on Yelp. It almost ruined the business. And they responded pretty well, though. They kind of took it light of heart. They responded pretty well. Like, they made a shirt that said 0.0 Barstool review. So like, they took it pretty well. And Dave kind of told them, hey, listen, I like how you handled that. But it almost ruined their business. Because they had a ton of reviews that were really negative in the beginning. And his fans are pretty fanatic when it comes to what he says about those pizza reviews.
Yeah, and he also has an app. I think it's called like One Pizza Bite or something like that, which I haven't checked out. But yeah, it's quite interesting. He's doing that. Obviously, he's a sports guy. He's also from Boston. So.
Yeah, he doesn't like Neapolitan pizza either. So his reviews are a little bit sweet. Listen, there's a place right down the street from me. I don't know if I should say the name because it's right down the street from me. You know what? It's Monty's Pizza. They're not gonna know. If they do, I don't care. He gave them a 10, and I vastly disagree with his 10 on that.
Wow. Yeah.
So there's been a few reviews that he's given high quality that I don't agree with, and there's been ones that he's given low quality that I don't agree with. So it's one man's opinion who talks about sports. Put it that way.
I agree with you. I am a huge Neapolitan pizza guy. That is, I think it's, in my opinion, is the best pizza. Obviously, you know, what I learned from your show is that you can't really have delivery like with that pizza because the texture and everything doesn't really flow well.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to get delivered pizza, don't get Neapolitan style because it's just not going to taste good. If you're going to go for Neapolitan style pizza, take the time and go eat it at the restaurant. That's going to be the best. The best pizza is Neapolitan pizza, but only if you eat it when it comes out of the oven. If you eat it an hour later or a half an hour later when it gets delivered or you pick it up and you take it home, it's just not going to be the same and you're not going to enjoy it as much.
I totally agree. What is your favorite business book?
Oh, you know what? I think I might have it behind me. So it's not a business book. I don't necessarily read business books because I don't like people to sway my opinion. I like to figure things out on my own. So I like to read books about business people or entrepreneurs. And Walt Disney, to me, is one of the best entrepreneurs I've ever seen in my life. If you know the Walt Disney Company, it's a huge company now. It literally was started by a guy who drew cartoons that everybody said was a really bad artist. And he's like, you know what? I enjoy doing this. I'm going to figure it out. And his whole life, he would completely figure out business to business, whether that be growing up in Missouri and then moving to Los Angeles, starting movies, doing a cartoon and a human movie together where everybody said he was crazy, doing a full animated cartoon and everybody said he was crazy, ended up being the highest grossing movie at the time, opening an amusement park, everybody said he was crazy. Now look at it, it's Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Paris, Disney Hong Kong. So his leadership, his ability to put people in the right spot, and if you came to him and you said, hey, listen, I'm an artist, and he saw you work for a little while, he'd be like, you know what, you're going to go work in this department. And they're like, why am I working in that department? He had the ability to figure people out and put them in the right spot to succeed. And to me, that's what every business owner needs. You need to be able to adapt. You need to be able to have faith in what you're doing and go all in. And you need to be able to put people in the right spot, even though they may not at the time think that's the correct spot for them.
I actually saw a movie about him on Netflix. It wasn't a documentary, but it was like, you know, real action movie. And it was a really, yeah, I mean, the guy went through, couldn't pay rent. You know, he was homeless for a little bit and he just found a way, kept knocking. And, you know, he got this, you know, mouse and called it Mickey, and the rest was history. So,
yeah, his first animated feature was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, too. And someone totally stole that from him. So he not only did he, it was very much success too. So he had one success, Someone stole it from him. And he came up with reinvented himself and come up with something else, and it was totally another success. But only because he was passionate about what he did, and he didn't let anybody tell him that it couldn't be done. So the book is called Walt Disney, an American Original. There's a few different Disney books, but any book about an entrepreneur, I love to read from like how they got started. I don't care about what their advice is now. I want to know how they started and what they went through.
We'll check it out. I actually been reading a couple biographies lately, Ray Kroc, McDonald's, and Shoe Dog with Phil Knight. And yeah, they all have like, you know, sacrifices somewhere along the line. Ready for some random questions?
Of course. Let's do it.
Has a teacher ever changed your life? And if so, how?
No, never. I hated school, to be honest with you. I was a really bad student. I hated it. It just wasn't for me. School wasn't something that I was interested in. And I think that's a problem with school. They try to put everybody in a box and be exactly the same when, you know, everybody is a unique individual. And if they did a better job of treating people differently and putting them in the place where they're going to succeed, I think people would enjoy school a little bit more.
Which movie can you see again and again and again?
So I'm a big Marvel's nerd. I love Marvel movies. So any Avengers movie or Captain America or Iron Man, any of those movies, I could watch a bazillion times.
What sport you cannot stand?
This is going to kill me because I have a lot of Italian friends. Soccer.
That's my favorite sport.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know. I don't get, like, listen, I love football. I love hockey. I love basketball, baseball. I grew up playing all those sports. Maybe it's because I wasn't good at it, so I immediately just ditched it. But it's just not one of my favorite sports.
Do you have any future plans?
We have a lot of stuff we're working on. We're working on the best pizza school. We're doing a restaurant summit with a lot of restaurant speakers that we know. We're building that out. That's going to be coming to a city hopefully near you soon. Working on a local business podcast where I can talk more about expand. You know Michael Stelzner from the social media marketing podcast?
I do not know.
So Michael Stelzner – and I've been thinking about this for a while. I spoke at Social Media Marketing World this year in San Diego, one of the biggest social media conferences we have. And he said to me, Bruce, you need to start a local business podcast because pizza is cool, but people get confused. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I need to expand that title so that people, because like you said, what we talk about on our podcast, people can use in many different businesses. But I think the pizza in the title kind of sways people from listening. So I'm going to start something that just has a different title on it. It's going to be the same exact show we do now, just different title.
And I agree with you. Like, if you have a podcast, try to do video and audio.
Yeah, I love video and audio. And listen, in the beginning, when I first started my podcast, I was really not into video. And that's why the first 100 or 125 episodes of our podcast, there's no video of them. I was just really nervous. It was new to me. I was doing it. It was out of my comfort zone. But I realize now that video is key. If you can walk away from this podcast and get one piece of advice from me, it's do everything on video. Because from doing everything on video, you can get the audio and you can get the text, which you can put in other places. And there's just something about – we've literally built the whole business of Smart Pizza Marketing through video. And that's how we've gotten every single client we have. That's how we've gotten every speaking engagement. Every guest podcast has been through creating content on video and then – using the other layers of podcasts, of written, of micro content to push that out to the social network. So I really, really agree with you on that, that video is super important.
Yeah, I mean, because there's listeners on YouTube. You'd be surprised how many people listen to podcasts just on YouTube and people that just listen music on YouTube.
You're right.
You just never know what's going to happen. And of course, you know, I always put like clips from the video into Instagram or Twitter so people have a preview of it. Some people just you know, watch the clips and don't listen to the podcast, but I think it's okay.
I agree with you. There's a lot of people who follow us on Instagram, and you know, I'll put a podcast, and they're like, "You have a podcast?" I'm like, "You followed us on Instagram for like a year and a half. You don't know that we have a podcast?"
Oh yeah, the cute videos. Okay.
Yeah,
Bruce, how can people reach you?
You can reach me. Go to smartpizzamarketing.com for now. That's our home base. You can reach all of our social platforms there. We're pretty much Smart Pizza Marketing on all the platforms. Except for Twitter. On Twitter, I am at Irving Media.
Bruce, I really appreciate you coming on. Any closing words?
Don't be afraid to go for what you want to do. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to start a podcast or you want to start a video or you want to do something other than what you're doing, go for it, because there's nothing worse than 15 years from now you looking back and being like, you know what, I should have done that. At least if you started now, you can look back in 15 years and be like, you know what, I tried.
Bruce, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Man, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.